Hello, my name is Jody Lee Mott, and welcome to Dream Gardens, where we talk up the kids' books we love. On this twice-monthly podcast, I interview other kids' books enthusiasts, such as writers, teachers, and librarians, about their own favorite children's books. On the last two podcasts, I started off by reading a poem. While I haven't exactly had anyone clamoring for me to do any more of that, I also didn't hear anyone complaining about it either. And so, for the immediate future anyway, I'm going to start off each podcast with a poem. At least until I get tired of doing it, or enough people tell me to knock it off. The poems I select may be written either specifically for children, or they might be found in a book with poems selected with children specifically in mind, even if children might not have been the original intended audience. The poem I'm going to read today is written by Sandra Cisneros. She's the author of such books as The House on Mango Street and Woman Hollering Creek and Other Stories. The name of this poem is Good Hot Dogs. I found it in a poetry collection called A Foot in the Mouth, Poems to Speak, Sing, and Shout, selected by Paul Janesco. Good Hot Dogs by Sandra Cisneros. 50 cents apiece. To eat our lunch, we'd run straight from school instead of home. 2 blocks, then the store that smelled like steam. You ordered because you had the money. 2 hot dogs and 2 pops for here. Everything on the hot dogs except pickle lily. Dash those hot dogs into buns and splash on all that good stuff. Yellow mustard and onions and french fries piled on top, all rolled up in a piece of wax paper for us to hold hot in our hands. 2 quarters on the counter. Sit down. Good hot dogs we'd eat fast till there was nothing left but salt and poppy seeds, even the little burnt tips of french fries we'd eat. You humming and me swinging my legs. My guest today is librarian Karen Yingling. In addition to being a middle school librarian, she is middle grade fiction organizer for the Sibyls Award, and she also reviews books for the School Library Journal and Young Adults Book Central. You can find Karen's website at msyinglingreads.blogspot.com. Thank you for joining me today, Karen.
Thank you for having me.
Now, you've been a middle school librarian for how long now?
I've been a librarian for 15 years.
15 years. And since you started, has being a librarian or library science sort of changed in all those years?
We've certainly gone toward more research, more computer use, and I have noticed that this year's sixth graders are intensely fond of graphic novels in a way I've not seen before. This particular group has also never been taught how to handwrite, and I think that it's easier for them. So we're slowly introducing them to the joys of longer fiction. So I see that as my project this year. Everything in moderation.
Now, I mentioned that you're the middle grade fiction organizer for the Sibyls Award. Can you talk a little bit about what those awards are and what they're for?
Yes, those are awards that are, the books are nominated by anyone who has a blog, and it is an adjudicated award, so we do put together a first-round panel of judges, and we decide on 5 to 7 finalists. And then that goes to a second round of judges who decide the winner. We like to say that it is like organic chicken nuggets. It's both good and good for you. And it was sort of a reaction to sometimes the Newbery Award winners are very serious and children don't like them as much. And sometimes the state children's awards chosen by children are like having cotton candy for breakfast every day. So we like to think that we have a good balance. And the call for judges is out right now and ends on Monday. So if anyone out there has a blog and would like to do that, they can go to sibyls.com and sign up to maybe be a judge.
Now, apart from the book we're going to be talking about today, I'm wondering, have you come across any other books recently that really caught your attention as being a really great book you'd like to people to pick up and read?
This fall have been a tremendous amount of running books out there. And considering I'm also a cross-country coach, and considering that I'm still checking out 3 copies of a 1974 title called Cross Country Runner, I was very excited to see Michael Currender has a young adult title coming out. I think it was just out September 9th, called Running Full Tilt, about a high school boy struggling with a brother who is on the autism spectrum and dealing with his brother and moving to a new school and running cross country. There is a new one out called Alma's Long Run, set in Kenya during the start of the AIDS epidemic. There's one called Sidetracked that just came out. So it was exciting to see that many running books out this season.
Now, the book you chose as one of your favorites also has a sports theme. It's called The Football Girl by Thatcher Heldring, and it was published in 2017, just this past year, by Delacorte Press. For those readers who are unfamiliar with this book, what can you tell them about it?
It is about a girl who is a very good cross-country runner, but she also plays pickup football games with a group of her friends that are boys and include her boyfriend, Caleb. And Tessa plays her last flag football game with them and blows a play. And all the boys are kind of being scouted by the high school coach. And she realizes that the coach has no interest in her whatsoever and that this could well have been the last game she ever plays. She feels so bad about it that she thinks, wait, there's nothing to stop me from going to the football conditioning and trying out for the high school football team. So she goes to the coach and he says, well, there's no rule against it, and proceeds to spend the summer going through conditioning with her boyfriend who is also going through it. And it's how their reactions to it, how she finds football, how he feels about having her around, and I just really, really enjoyed it.
And what is it about this book in particular that really appealed to you?
I like the fact that the kids in the book have very realistic reactions to everything that goes on, so they're not perfect. But in the end, they do exactly what I would want my own children to do if they were in similar circumstances. So it just was such a, it just made me feel so good that the children were all making such good choices.
Now, gender's a topic that comes up a lot in this book, both in how they define themselves and they look at other people, the sort of expectations they have for other people. And I'm wondering what sort of, when readers look at this, what sort of questions it might raise when they think about gender themselves and read this book?
Can I share a passage now, actually?
Absolutely.
So this is after Tessa is on the in the conditioning and she has a play. I will say this, if there were any girl who could play high school football, it was Tessa. She was fast, ran good routes, and could catch. But there was one more thing about her that nobody else knew. She was lethal with head games. She had Julian completely out of the game. He was so afraid of Tessa beating him deep that he just assumed she was running a straight fly route. Dude never considered that she was going to break inside on a slant, and she nailed it. That wasn't football. That was artwork. Dobie, Luke, Shane, and I watched Tessa cross the line into the end zone. I don't think play like a girl means what we think it does, Dobie said. Depends on the girl, I guess, Luke replied. And I think I am seeing with my students at school this change in attitude. You do still have your boys who think, oh, play like a girl. You know, oh, they're sissies, they can't do it. And our girls' team in cross country this year is dominating the field. And one of my cross country boys said to a wide receiver on the football team, dude, you need to run like our girls run. And the football player thought that was ridiculous. And the other cross country guys are like, oh, wow, you could win some games if you could run like that. So it's good to see that people are now judging sports on how good the athlete is, how much they try, and not solely on their gender.
Now, I'm not much of a sports person myself. I played a little baseball when I was younger, and that's about the extent of my sports career.
Sure.
And this is obviously a sports book. And I guess, what is this book telling us, both for readers who are, you know, people involved in sports and not involved in sports, how such activities contribute to a person's character and who they are and in their development?
Well, the one reason I picked this book is because I do think that more teachers and librarians need to consider sports books. And I think many of us, I certainly was not an athlete when I was in school, and I think, you know, many teachers and librarians aren't, but so many kids are. You do see them grow through sports, but often what you see is the person they really are deep down emerge on the sports field. And the kids who are willing to try on everything in life, no matter how hard they struggle, you'll see that on the playing field. And you get that in books. And I just wish that more adults would remember what it was like to have that identity as a child, you know, because if you run cross country, man, you have the same, you know, the same hoodie that everybody has, and you're on the team and you hang out together. And I think as adults, we kind of forget that. And it's just good to see that character does show itself so well.
Now, this book is told in a different sort of way. It's a dual narrative. One chapter is told by Caleb and then one Tessa, and it switches on and off throughout the book. So we get both characters' point of view, sometimes of different scenes, sometimes of the same thing. And I'm just wondering, what do you think that this adds to the book, this switching back and forth between the boy Caleb and the girl?
I think that Caleb and Tessa are both a little unsure about what they're really feeling and thinking. And so we get to see more details about the process that they're going through during this kind of unusual season that they're having. So we see Caleb talking to his friends and not agreeing with what they're saying, and sometimes agreeing with what they're saying. And we see Tessa sort of hiding it from her friends who have run with her because they don't quite understand. And I think if it were an omniscient narrator, we would see what they do, but we wouldn't understand as much about how they feel and what they're going through. So I think it was a particularly good way to tell the story, and I thought that Heldring wrote an excellent teenage girl voice.
For both Tessa and Caleb, family is very important to them. It's important and it's also annoying at the same time. And just thinking about how them both deal with their family and how they try to both accommodate and break away from them at the same time, how do they deal with that in different ways?
I thought that was a particularly brilliant part of the book, because one of the tropes of middle grade literature is to kill off all the parents. And not only were Caleb and Tessa's families around, but like you said, they're sometimes irritated. Caleb, in a way, is trying to do what his family really wants him to do. His older brother played football. They want to see him play football. He is playing with some of the same teammates that his brother played with. So he has that, the shoes to fill. Whereas Tessa's family is like, what in the world are you doing? Her mother is also running for a political office in town and is very concerned that this will not reflect well on either the mother or the family, and is taking a lot of attention away from the mother's campaign. So they really don't want Tessa to do it, but both families are ultimately supportive. And I thought, you know, instead of killing off all the parents, have them irritate their children, because that is an emotion that more middle grade readers go through in real life. And to have it reflected in a book, I thought was delightful.
And along with the family, friendship is obviously both important for both Caleb and Tessa. And I'm just wondering if sort of insights it gives us to how boys and girls and friendships develop or are strained in some way, if you could talk a little bit about that.
I did like how Caleb's friends were on the team and they joked around with each other, and, you know, the boys will punch each other in the arm and, you know, wrestle each other to the ground when they're younger. And that, I think, is very different for boys. Whereas girls, if you make even a complimentary comment and it is a half bubble off in tone, the girls will worry about it for days. And so Tessa does not really bring her friends into her whole experience on the football team because they just don't quite understand it, and she is afraid of what they'll say. You know, Caleb has his friends, they're ragging on him, but he gives as good as he gets, and in the end he's like, you know, Tessa's a better player than you are, so just lay off. She's still going to be my girlfriend, but I'm glad she's my teammate too.
Now, both Tessa and Caleb have a lot of decisions to make, and they make a few, and some are not always the best decisions or don't turn out the way they expect. So things aren't always clear, you know, what they need to do and what's the best way forward. And I'm just wondering, for young readers especially, who, you know, the same age or younger, even older, look at these characters and the sort of flawed ways they go about their lives, and You think that's something they would be able to relate to in some way?
I think it's so important for children to see that kind of example in literature and to realize that you can make a mistake and that you can come back from it, because middle school students have like no impulse control and the frontal cortex isn't completely developed. And so, you know, you think, this is such an awesome idea. I'm going to do this. And then after you do it, you're like, wow, that did not turn out the way I wanted it to. And certainly, you know, Caleb makes some decisions in the book that his friends dare him to do, and Tessa gets really angry, and he manages, you know, to again make maybe not the smartest decision, but it helps her to forgive him. And, you know, Tessa at one point says, don't say that your friends dared you to do that. Own it. If you're going to be a jerk, own it. And I think that maybe that's a message that more middle school students need. Like, okay, you were a jerk, own it. Move on. And of course, Tessa and Caleb both move on with what they do.
And one of the decisions, particularly Tessa has to make, is a very big decision. But by the end of the book, we're not quite sure what she's going to decide to do. And I don't know what you thought about that, the fact the author sort of leaves that as a question mark rather than, you know, giving us a defined ending at that point.
I like that. I'm not a fan of the epilogue. I don't want the author to tell me. I like to imagine the end of the book. But I think it's very interesting that that was your take on the end of the book, because I know exactly what Tessa was going to do. And I thought that there were definitely clues along the way. Tessa is a very, very competitive sports person, and she's not going to be successful on the football team, and she realizes that. And that, you know, there's a reporter who works with her and tells her, well, you really need a big win. And Tessa's like, I need a big win. And at the end, she's sitting alone in the locker room, and she can hear the boys on the other side, you know, joshing and hanging out together. And so in my mind, you know, I had to look back and reread the end of the book, because in my mind, I'm like, yeah, Tessa is totally going to go and join the girls' cross country team with her friends and have a great season, but it's not in the book. That was just totally what I imagined her doing. So I thought that was interesting how you read the end of the book.
You think it's possible that other people might read the book and then come to different, because it's ambiguous, that it sort of leaves open-ended to make a person make their own decision about what decision she might.
Oh, I think it absolutely does. And I think that makes it a lot of fun.
Now, I know you shared a little bit earlier in the interview a part of the book. Were there any other passages from the book that you wanted to share?
There was one other, and it's from the very beginning. Okay, they have played a football game, and Tessa is going out on a run with her two friends that were on the eighth grade cross-country team with her. And this is from Caleb, and he said, it was pretty cool that she could go all out in a football game and then crush a run like it was nothing. She just had a different gear, and she really liked to win. The first time we ever hung out in a public setting, she went insane on the hoop shoot, just lit it up, crushing everyone who challenged her. How could I not like a girl like that? Oh, my heart. I thought that was brilliant. You know, and again, that gender stereotype. When I was growing up, you know, girls couldn't run cross country. We were too delicate. And my goodness, you could never let a boy beat you. Or, you know, you could never beat a boy at a game because that would be bad and he would never like you. And so, you know, Caleb likes Tessa because she's a good athlete. And that was charming to me.
Even though it's called The Football Girl, that it would have an appeal for both boys and girls because they can see sort of different aspects of it, of themselves in it.
This school year, the first day of school, I had three copies of this available. I hardly ever buy three copies, but I bought more because I did want everybody to read it. We're seeing more and more titles that are meant to appeal to both genders, which I enjoy. And I've had, I think, four boys finish reading this already. And they liked it. They liked the football, and they liked the way the kids acted. One of my reluctant readers is having some trouble. It's a little long for him. But even he is really enjoying it. And so I think the appeal is good. I've been saving it for some of my girls on the cross-country team, but they are waiting avidly to read it as well.
Well, Karen, thank you so much for bringing this book to my attention and taking time to share it with me today and to share the people who are listening today.
Thank you so much for allowing me to do that.
You can find Karen's website at msyinglingreads.blogspot.com. Thank you for joining me on Dream Gardens. The theme music titled All Together is provided courtesy of Purple Planet Music. You can visit them at www.purpleplanet.com. Podcast cover art is provided by Creative Pro 180, courtesy of Fiverr, which can be found at www.fiverr.com. You can visit me at jleemott.com or follow me on Twitter at dreamgardensjlm. The Dream Gardens podcast is also available through iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play. If you like what you hear, please comment, share, or subscribe. Until next time, keep dreaming, keep growing, and keep reading.